Your next promotion is just the beginning, and this podcast shows you how to get there. Welcome to episode number 184. On this podcast, you've heard me talk about toxic bosses several different times, but never in the way that I've talked about it in today's episode. Lately, I've had several different clients share with me situations at work that make them feel extremely uncomfortable, but it's not easy for them to identify why. And as a corporate badass woman, it's very easy for us to blame ourselves and to say, maybe it's all in my head. Maybe I'm just overthinking it. When in reality, it's possible you might just have a toxic boss. So in today's episode, I'm sharing with you ways that you can identify the less obvious toxic bosses and what you can actually do about it. Let's get started. Welcome to Women Changing Leadership. I am your host, Stacey Mayer, and I teach you how to get promoted, get paid, and bring your whole self to the leadership table. I am on a mission to change organizations from the C-suite out because women are the new face of leadership, and we are doing it on our terms. Hello, corporate badasses. Welcome to another episode of Women Changing Leadership. I am your host, Stacey Mayer, and super excited, as always, to be here with you again this week. So on the date of recording this episode, it is actually my birthday, and I share that with you because the way that I'm experiencing my birthday this year is quite different, and I think it's actually going to tie into the episode and what it is that I teach. So a little bit of background about me. I love celebrations. I love parties. I love birthdays. I love doing very big things on all of these days. But what that has led me to in the past is a lot of disappointment, right? So I have very high expectations for my celebrations. And then sometimes they don't live up to those expectations. So I have felt myself in multiple times throughout my life being disappointed, especially on holidays, especially on birthdays, because I wanted it to be different than what it was, whatever that might be. And what I notice now in the past couple of years is that in general, I don't experience those great highs and lows of life. Actually, I came across this concept when I was working at a meditation center and actually meditating regularly for several years of my life. And they would talk to us about the concept of contentment and really feeling content and getting off of that roller coaster. I used to worry that that would mean that I didn't get to fully embrace and fully enjoy life and fully celebrate in the way that I was used to. And the truth is, I don't celebrate in the way that I used to. I celebrate in the way that I do today, which is, feels much more grounded and wonderful and beautiful. And I connect with people that I love and I spend time having longer conversations. I have less expectations in terms of other people owe me something. I ask for what I want. This past weekend, I went down to LA and I had an incredible experience going seeing the musical Six, which was amazing, of the story of Henry VIII and his six wives. And it was the ultimate female empowerment musical, so much so that we had our fists pumping in the air. And I have a whole nother story to share with you about this musical and the impact that the lives of Henry VIII's six wives have had on my life ever since high school. So that's another story. But for today's episode, what I'm focusing on is this level of coarseness, this level of contentment, right? So when I talk to you about advocating for your promotion year round and not just at performance review time, that's what we're doing. When I talk to you about always be interviewing, just so that you feel that you're in control, because you are in control, so that when situations happen for you at work, which they inevitably will, you can just pivot, right? And actually, the job of an executive leader is to be able to pivot quickly, is to be able to pull out of the emotion of the situation and really look at it in a more logical, rational way. This level of contentment that I've been experiencing in the last couple of years and what I feel again here on my birthday this year is so much richer than anything I ever felt when I had those highs and lows. Now, on to today's episode, which is an offshoot of the contentment, but it's a topic that has been coming up a lot for me inside of my program. And actually, you're going to start to hear me refer to all of my programs as the leadership table as I begin to transition my offers so that we all can be reminded of what we're really doing, that we're changing that leadership table. And the only way we can truly change is not to bring our anger and resentment and frustration with us all along the path, right? And I think you know this already. That's why you don't want to just be promoted. It's not enough to be promoted. You have to find a way that you truly feel supported and have allies. So speaking of allies, I want to talk in today's episode about toxic bosses and toxic culture at work. And I have a little bit of different insight into what toxic culture looks like over the last couple of weeks. And I want to point something out to you, something that I think is actually more toxic than the traditional toxic culture that you might be used to. So when I say the word toxic, in general, what comes to mind for people is a boss that is a tyrannical dictator, an asshole, a culture that is just very dismissive, very openly rude. And the sad thing is that a lot of the women that I work with very much deal with this incredibly aggressive, horrible behavior from people that they work with. Very childish, very just completely inappropriate and horrible, right? Being told all kinds of things that are just terrible. But the toxic boss that I'm talking about today is the one that is less obvious, but almost more deadly because they are less obvious. They're less obvious to you and they're less obvious to everyone else around you. They are manipulative. They are codependent. They are terrible, terrible bosses. But yet you're going to experience it a little bit in a different way because they're not outwardly assholes and they're not outwardly awful to you. In fact, it usually masks itself as being overly nice to you, but not in an actually supportive way. So let me give you an example from my daughter this week. This literally just happened this week. So she is just finished up second grade and she's been having trouble with one of the girls in her class over the past couple of years. And what has happened for her is that this girl will say things to her one-on-one, just one-to-one, that hurt her, that are mean, right, to her face. And then she'll sort of apologize openly or spin the story so that it doesn't seem like she did anything wrong. And I'm very aware of the fact that I only have one side of the story. And obviously I'm biased against my daughter and like, I'm going to go on her side. You know, I get all of that stuff, right? So I'm not saying that this young girl is anything, but what I do want to point out is how she makes my daughter feel. And she makes my daughter feel uncomfortable. She makes my daughter feel like she's being manipulated, that the other girl is being mean to her. So regardless of what the other girl is actually doing, and if it's purposeful or it's meant to be toxic or meant to be rude, it makes my daughter feel a certain way. And I think that's legit. You know, people can't hurt us. We let them hurt us. But in reality, it's interesting to look at that situation and to sort of say, okay, what's actually happening there? I'm going to give you three examples in today's episode from my clients just in the last couple of weeks where they have spoken to me about these similar situations where their bosses just make them feel uncomfortable. And sometimes, like I said, it's very, very disguised. So part two of the story with my daughter is we were reading this book and in this book, there was more obvious bully behavior. So a kid who was in seventh grade was talking about how somebody pantsed him and like pulled his pants up and hung him on a doorknob. And my daughter's reaction was, oh, that's not so bad. And I was like, what do you mean? And she goes, because it's obvious. Other people can see it. And so that's not so bad. And it just like floored me, because it's the same thing that I'm talking about in toxic culture, is that when somebody is an actual outright asshole. Now, the problem is that a lot of corporate culture supports that asshole and they don't get reprimanded appropriately, but at least people can see it, right? You don't feel like the crazy one. You don't feel like the person who's doing something wrong. You don't internalize it, because other people can empathize with you that this person really is a toxic boss, that this person really is an awful person. But what about the person that just makes you feel uncomfortable, that just makes you feel slightly uneasy, that just makes you feel like they're manipulating you, but you can't quite put your finger on it? What's so important is for us to identify who those people are, because in order for us to move on, in order for us to do something about it, we have to know that it's happening. The first step is always awareness. And because as so many women, we make other people's problems our problems. We internalize problems because we care so deeply about our job, about our performance, about being recognized, about being part of the team, that we tend to take in that information and make it about us. So it's my fault that I feel uncomfortable, or I'm not doing enough, or that person really is nice. They really do have my best interests at heart. So I'm going to give you my first example, which is a woman inside of the Leadership Table, my professional program, my group training program. And she was telling us on a call that she has decided to stick out her time at her organization. So first, she was feeling the impulse to leave, and she was working on her resume, and she was deciding that she wanted to be empowered in this decision. But I was asking her what changed, and her boss has continued to tell her over and over again that she's not quite ready yet. That's what she keeps telling her. That's the language that she used. You're not quite ready. Just stick it out. You know, just stay with us a little bit longer. You're not quite ready for a promotion. You know what? I'm just going to hire somebody from the outside. You know, we need you in this role. We need you. And you're so great. Don't give up this opportunity. You've been here for 12 years. It's such a great company to work for. Stick it out. Get us over this hurdle. Work for us a little bit harder. No, I'm not going to give you more pay. I'm going to give you more work, but I'm not going to give you more pay or recognition. But I just want you to know you're almost there. You're so close. Just keep doing. Just keep working and you'll get there. And a couple months ago, my client was just like, yeah, that doesn't feel good. Like, I don't believe her. But there's a shift that happened in the woman in the last couple of weeks where she started to believe her boss. And you could look at that as being like, okay. And I look at it as being horrific. It's horrible. And the biggest reason for this is that her boss doesn't actually care about her. Listen to the language that she's using. She's not saying, I will help you. She's not saying, I will start to bring you to these leadership team meetings. She's not saying, I'll put together a path for you. She's not saying, hey, I really want to promote you, and I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and do that because you really are amazing. But these are the expectations once you get into that role. She's not saying any of these things. She's just telling her to keep doing her job. And the number one reason that she's telling her to keep doing her job is because she doesn't have anybody else who could do it, because a lot of people are quitting at the organization. And so she's like, oh my gosh, I can't lose her. She's one of our best workers. She's amazing. So keep telling her she's amazing, and also remind her that she should be lucky she has a job. Have you seen the economy lately? That is classic manipulation. That is a toxic boss. And I'm trying to show my client that that is a toxic boss. I want her to see what's happening, that she's being manipulated, that she's being told that she needs to stay, not because her boss has her best interest, but because her boss needs her. And it's important for my client to know that her decision to stay should be for her, for herself, right? She can choose to stay. I'm not telling her that she needs to quit. But what I'm telling her is like, look at the writing at the wall. This woman does not have your best interest at heart. So don't keep telling me that she does, because I look for actual proof. What is she doing? If she doesn't promote her, okay, fine. Like, I don't care about that. But what I do care about is how is she talking to her and how is she guiding her through this process? Because there are leaders that truly care for us. And then there are leaders that just need us because they're desperate themselves. And that is a case of a toxic boss. And she needs to know what's happening so that she can make intelligent decisions for herself. Otherwise, she's going to continue getting manipulated. And you know what's going to happen? This boss is actually going to leave. This boss is going to leave the organization. And then she's going to be like, wait, what? My boss told me that I was so great. Now I'm just stuck in this crappy ass role. That happens all the time. And it's sad. It is so sad that here we are sitting in the positions of doing all the work, being smarter than other people at our organization, being able to solve harder problems, and yet we keep getting shit on. But part of the problem is that we don't realize that we're getting shit on. We think that we just need to keep waiting. And so today's episode is for you to understand that even if you're not getting pantsed and hung on the doorknob, I see you. I know what is actually happening, and I believe you. I see everything that's happening. Another example is a woman who is working for a boss that is like kind of manic. And so he does have that more aggressive behavior. And when he yells or kind of speaks out in a meeting or something, she's very good at shutting him down, like meaning she kind of walks away and she says, I won't engage in this behavior. But the thing that he does to her because he is manic is he's very, very nice to her on the side, right? He's, oh, thank you so much for pointing out that terrible behavior that I did. You know what? You're right. I shouldn't yell like that, right? Like, doesn't this sound like classic abuser? Oh my God, you're right. I shouldn't have hurt you. I shouldn't have screamed in your face. You know what? You have so much to teach me. Wow. You know, I'm so thankful to have you around. You're so good to me. You're so good at what you do. And then the very next day, he'll yell at her again. And she's like so upset and so angry that she works for this person. And she knows that when she disengages from him, that it triggers him. And then he gets even more angry or more like, well, what's wrong with you? Why are you pulling away? Oh, I can see you're mad at me. Don't be mad at me. Right. And the only reason I chuckle a little bit is because it's so easy to see this in like actual abusive spouses, right? And you would probably recommend to that person that they get the hell out of Dodge, right? But yet when it's our boss, for some reason, we feel like we need to suck it up and put up with it. And in her case, you know, again, this doesn't mean that she needs to walk out the door and go find another job. But what I point out to her is that he is manipulating her. And look at what he brings out in her. He brings out a lot of anger, a lot of resentment for her job, a lot of inability to lead her team effectively because she's constantly worrying about his emotional state. And in the managing emotions modules as part of my executive promotion process, so when you join the Leadership Table Professional Path and you get all of the group trainings inside this program, you're going to see everything that I teach about all these different stages of my executive promotion process. And one of them is managing your emotions. The first way to manage our emotions is distance. You have to be able to pull out and actually see what's going on. And in her particular case, the advice that I gave her, and you know, the verdict is still out. We're just going to play with different things because she's actually in my private coaching program and I'm coaching her one-on-one every single week, which you're welcome to do if you want, join us. And so one of the things that we've been talking a lot lately is sort of killing him with kindness. So instead of like internally rolling your eyes at him when he's like, oh, I care about you so much. And she's like, really? Because tomorrow you're just going to yell it again. Then I'm like, oh, really? Oh, you care about me? Maybe you could come into this meeting and you could talk to my team about how much you care about them and that, you know, right? So it's like, let's actually meet him where he's at and reflect and mirror back his behavior. And anytime we can do that, we can sort of disempower that person because basically what she's doing is sort of standing up to him, but not in an aggressive way. She's not she's not being mean backwards, but she's just kind of meeting him in the same behavior that he's doing, but in a more controlled, purposeful way in her situation. And so when she can start to do this, ultimately what she's doing is she's finding her own power. She's finding her own legs. She's finding her own ground. And so she can decide, hey, I'm not going to meet with him today. Hey, I'm not going to get sucked into his behavior anymore. Hey, I'm actually going to schedule all of my meetings offsite or whatever it might be. She's going to distance herself from her boss a little bit, because the truth is, she does have a lot more power than he does. She does know more. She has more allies at her organization than he does. But yet, she's so caught up in the manipulation and the frustration of that manipulation that she's not able to actually take action against it. So you see where I'm going here? We need to see the toxic behavior for what it is, so that we can react appropriately and make decisions ahead of time about how we're going to react. So that's just one idea of how she can react. There's a whole, you know, other range of emotions and tactics that we can begin to take, but we need to start making purposeful choices, because eye rolling and being frustrated and letting it affect your own behavior is not an option. This is no longer an option as a corporate badass, right? You can't continue behaving in this way. The third woman that I want to share with you the story is this woman who was very high up at her organization, had a lot of autonomy, a lot of respect, had been at her organization for a long time, and her boss had been there slightly longer. And he was pretty well liked. I mean, you know, he wasn't a mean person, but I totally consider him to be a toxic boss. And he would often make her feel uncomfortable. So she would talk about how he brought her into his office, and then he would just say these things and they were very dismissive, or, you know, he didn't really seem like he wanted to help her with her career. He just said, you know, you got to suck it up sometimes. You just got to work harder. And as she was explaining to me some of the words that he used and the way that he talked to her, and also I knew that he was about, you know, 15 or 20 years older than her, maybe even more actually, I said, do you ever feel like he treats you like his daughter? And her eyes got so big and she was like, oh my God, yes, that is exactly how I feel. I feel like my dad is reprimanding me in some sort of weird way that has nothing to do with my performance. It's like, he has her best interest at heart. He's looking out for her. He just simply cares for her, right? She shouldn't set her expectations so high. She should just, you know, be appreciative of the job that she's in right now. But all that he's doing is manipulating her and keeping her exactly where she is and treating her like his daughter, which she has no right to do. He is not her dad, and he shouldn't treat her that way. It's horrible. But once she realized that that's what he was doing, she acted differently, right? And again, she was in my private coaching program. So she and I were able to continue coaching on her emotions with him and preparing for every single meeting beforehand so that she could keep her emotions, you know, in check herself, so that she didn't react or get annoyed or frustrated or, like, you know, spit back at him. Instead, she was able to limit her interactions with him. She was able to really shorten the amount of meetings. You know, in general, what she would do when he would give her this advice, she would just say, oh, okay, thanks, and take it and leave and do whatever the hell else she wants to do, right? She can do whatever she wants about her career, but she acknowledged his advice because that kind of shut him up, right? So we can take this manipulative behavior and take intentional action on the reverse to actually do something about the toxicity. And this is just really so important to remember, that if you feel uncomfortable, if somebody else makes you feel small, or it just seems off, like they don't have your best interest at heart, even though they constantly tell you that they do, then that is a toxic boss. That is toxic behavior. It's completely unacceptable. And you, quite frankly, do not have to put up with it. And by not putting up with it, it doesn't always mean quit and run, but it does mean that you can take intentional action on the reverse. You don't have to let them suck your energy, make you small. you can rise up to the occasion. Again, it doesn't always mean that you fight back with this other person, but you take back your emotions. You become a manager of your emotions. You learn to be in charge of yourself. And that is the most important thing you can do as you continue to advance into executive leadership. As you get those higher level leadership positions, when you get your seat at the table, you are going to be able to claim your voice because you are in charge of you. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Again, if you're listening to these stories and you can relate, please, I invite you to join us inside of the leadership table. You can hop on a free strategy session at stacymayer.com/apply. Learn more about the different training programs that I offer and get yourself the support that you need, because nobody deserves to be belittled and put down at work. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week. Bye. Before you go, I have a question for you. Do you know how close you are to your next promotion? Really? Not what your boss has told you, not what you even believe to be true, but have you actually taken the time to sit down, take an assessment, review the 5 categories that it takes to get promoted into senior executive leadership positions, and decided where you fall in each category, and given yourself a ranking on a scale of 1 to 10 of how close you are to getting your next promotion? Have you done this? Well, now's your chance. If that feels interesting to you and you're like, hey, I want to know exactly how close I might actually be, or how far away you might be, and what it's going to take to get you even closer, then I invite you to take my promotability quiz. This is a quiz that I put together with practical tips that actually tell you where you're lacking and where you're winning. What are the areas that you actually need to improve, and not necessarily what your boss is telling you all the time, so that you can take concrete steps towards landing that next promotion and changing the face of the leadership table. Go to yourpromotabilityscore.com to take your free assessment today. Yourpromotabilityscore.com, and let me know how it goes.